Last time we read of Jesus cleansing the temple of merchandising. Went in there and he cleared them out, turned the tables over. And it was to be a holy place, a place to meet with God, a place to focus on God, to pray, to worship, and honor the God of creation. And Jesus stated in verse 17 that my house shall be called a house of prayer for all nations, but you have made it a den of thieves. And we need to keep our places of worship holy and worshipful, not merchandising, not used for worldly things. And prayer is so important in a believer's life. We come to pray, commune with God, and we'll see more on prayer today. In verse 19, when evening had come, he went out of the city. Jesus went out of Jerusalem, and remember verses 13 and 14, where he saw a fig tree, no fruit, and he cursed it, and he said that nothing will ever come from you. We know he was speaking of the nation of Israel, but he cursed this fig tree. And in verse 20 now, we read, in the morning, as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. So guess what? They pass by the next day and the fig tree is dried up. Nothing on it. And Peter notices this. You notice how Peter is, he seems to be the spokesman, doesn't he, for these 12 apostles. He's always going to Jesus with stuff or questioning Jesus or asking Jesus things. Peter, remembering, he probably remembered, wow, I remember what he said yesterday. Would you believe it? Look at this tree. Remembering, he said to him, Rabbi, look, the fig tree which you cursed has withered away. It's all dried up. Was he amazed, surprised? Sounds like he was. Wow, look at this. You cursed it and it's dried up. The power of Jesus' words. So Jesus answered. Now, as I was studying this week, there are certain verses in the Bible that are very short, but are life-changing. You know, John 3:16. But I'm going to tell you, Mark 11, verse 22, is really a verse which changes a Christian's life. You can underline it. I don't know what you do on your electronics, but if you have a Bible, you can underline it. Look at this verse. So Jesus answered and said to them, have faith in God. We could stop right there and do a message. Many messages. Have faith in God. Doesn't that change a life? If you just have faith in God, in Him, He is able. He has the power. He is the Creator. Have faith in God. Jesus simply says, what's the big deal? Have faith in God. I said that would happen and it happened. Why do we worry? Have faith in God. And I almost changed the message to talk about faith, but God says continue on. So we're continuing on with this chapter. We're going to talk more about prayer. But have faith in God. What is faith? It's trust and confidence in someone or something. That's what faith is. Have faith in God. In God alone. Not God in me, in God alone. A little boy once answered the question, what is faith? And he answered the question, I think it is believing God and asking no questions. That's why we should have faith like a little child. Believing God and asking no questions. What is the Bible's definition? You know, Hebrews 11, verse 1. Let's turn to Hebrews 11, verse 1. What is faith? The Bible's description of faith. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. The substance, it means realization. Faith is the realization, the substance of things hoped for, and it's the evidence. You can take it to court. It's the confidence of things not seen. We don't see, but we know. We know God. We know His Word. We have faith. Faith is that substance that the things are going to happen. You know, substance and evidence. We take God at His word 100%. It's 100% sure. Did you ever doubt? Well, then you weren't 100% sure. We're all guilty. 100% sure. What did Jesus come here to do? It tells us in the Bible. He came to do the will of the Father. We follow Jesus. What are we to do? The will of the Father. So the context of this next verse, you know, because people read these next verses and other verses in the Bible and say, wow, I can ask for whatever I want and it's going to happen. The context of the next verse is that you have faith in God. And if you have faith in God, Jesus came to do the will of the Father. You have faith in the will of God for your life. Of course, if something is not His will, God won't perform it. Our faith should be in God's word and promises and His power to fulfill. You know, He says in Matthew 6:33, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. All your needs. That's a promise. Have faith in God. That if you seek Him first and His righteousness, you live according to His word, He will add the things you should have in life to you. Isn't that great? I don't have to gain them by myself and my own power and strength. I can rest, not wrestle. Our faith should be in God. The point is, our Father, our faith is in God, not in what we want done. You see the difference? People say, well, I have faith that God's going to do this. And it doesn't happen sometime, and people get irritated or upset with God. Our faith is not in the answer or the event or the thing being done. It's in God. Have faith in God. You want to accomplish God's will in your life while you're here. I do. An extreme case, example. First we'll read verse 23 and we'll show you the difference. For assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Wow. A couple of words here. No doubt in his heart. My mind can think something or feel something, but what's in my heart? Do I really believe? But look at this extreme case. If you say to the mountain, be removed and cast into the sea, and you don't doubt in your heart, but believe those things he says will be done, and he'll have whatever he says. Well, who could do those things? Only God. So he has faith that God will do it. Our faith is in God. In other words, if God makes it clear to you that he wants a mountain to be removed and cast into the sea to create another island that we can go vacation on, you don't have to go out and hire a large construction crew. Because God, you're in the center of God's will. This shows us how important it is to be in fellowship with God. You hear God's voice, but if it's God's will to do that, you pray, you believe, you don't doubt, and you watch God do it. You don't then undertake to do this thing in the flesh. You don't doubt. If God said to do that, That's why we have to be sure that what we're praying for, first, is scriptural. We don't pray, God, give me another man. I'm sick of this one. That's not scriptural. But we laugh, and you know what? I've had people over the years come up to me and says they're having a relationship with someone else, and they're married, and say, well, God wants me to be happy, and I believe he led me to this woman. And I can look them in the face and say, you're wrong. You're dead wrong. Because it's not scriptural. God would never tell you that. He will never do that. You're in the flesh. See, that's extreme cases. People want their own thing, and they think God has to do it because their faith isn't getting that thing done or having that thing rather than faith in God to do the right thing. And he may use you as his instrument to do it. Pray, believe, don't doubt, and watch God do it. Remember, our faith is in God. Our faith is in God to do the doing. He has the power. And we have precious promises in the Bible. Many that we can have faith in because it's scriptural. So we pray for that in our life. We don't doubt. We believe and watch God do it. The Bible says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Now, of course, that doesn't mean I can jump from a building and not die. That would not be God's will. But it is God's will that I get through this trial I'm going through with his strength. And you say, well, I can't do it. That verse is not for me. Well, you need to pray. And you need to do two other things. Pray and pray. And have faith in God. And he will get you through it. Did you ever do the impossible? God did it in your life, and you look back and say, wow, I got through it. You did it through God. Because when you tried to do it, you were getting sick, and it wore you down. Our faith is in God. We have precious promises. We need to have faith in them. And if it doesn't seem to be working out in our life, we need to get in fellowship with God, pray, and not doubt in our heart, but believe he's going to do it in my life. You know, when God promises us in his word, we know that all things work together for good to those that love God, that are called according to his purpose. I can remember many times in my early Christian life saying, well, that verse is for everybody else, but not for me. I don't know why. I must be different. Did you ever feel different? And we all have. But it's for all of us. The point is, we doubt, we deny, we give up, we whatever. We get in the way, we try to work things out in the flesh, and we don't let God do his work. Yeah, I heard something a couple weeks ago, I forgot where I was hearing this, but it is God's will at times that we go through the trial, the trouble, because the trouble refines us. And if we continue to avoid it, we don't grow. We pray to get through. And he will work all things out for good. But we don't doubt. Our faith is in God. That's why it's so important to continually be in contact and fellowship with God. The more you're in fellowship, the more you hang around the person, the more you know them. There are some people that are acquaintances. There are some that are true friends, and you know them because you're with them. You hang around with them. You see how they act in every situation, and you get to trust them. That's the way we must develop our relationship with God. People say, oh, I don't need to go to church. I can watch it on the tube or the screen or whatever. Well, where's the fellowship of the saints and serving of God and worshiping him and doing all these other things and using your gifts? You see, we need to be in that environment of surrounded with God. Being aware of God is so important. We need to hear him. On the, you know, on the radio, we've got to tune in K-God. And just listen to God. I think sometimes we can be overcome by so much other stuff on the radio, even Christian stuff, where we're not listening to God. I personally have shut out a lot of things out of my life. I'm in that place now where I am focusing on the Lord, listening to God. I found a lot of other things can get in the way. You want to be hanging around with the one who truly saved you and loves you, God. Be in his word and prayer and fellowship. And listen to God. You know, there could be a lot of bad advice out there. A lot of things that, just aren't really right for you. We're all unique. We can't put everybody in one basket and give them all the same line, same verses. God knows what you need today and the verse you need today. Listen to him. Give him time. You don't always have to have noise around. Just learn to hang around with God. Be in fellowship with God. We call that prayer communication. It's not only asking, it's receiving and listening. And that's where we need to be. In this world today, people are busy. It takes a while to settle down and hear his voice. It's so important to do that and be in worship and prayer. Now, concerning, we see this radical case, this extreme case. But let's get down to the personal level here, the real thing here, verse 24. Therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask, when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them. Again, people take this out of context and say, oh boy, I can't wait to get out of here because I got a lot of things that I want and I'm going to ask for today. You know, as we shared a couple weeks ago, some people treat God as a genie in a bottle and they call him up when they want something. That's not a relationship with God. We see here in this verse, I say to you, whatever things you ask, when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them. We see that faith and prayer go together. It's all in this one verse. Faith and prayer. He laid the foundation of faith. And it's interesting, Jesus continues on with prayer. He knows what he's talking about. Wouldn't you say so? Faith, because if you're praying without faith, you may as well not pray. You see how it goes? Faith and prayer. But your faith must be in God. Then it takes the burden off of you on how to work it out. Faith and prayer go together. We must continue to walk in the Spirit, which means just doing the spiritual things, be close to God, so that we are praying and asking for those things that would be according to his will. You see? We want to know what is Scripture, what is his will, so that we're praying for, oh God, give me strength. This thing is almost too hard for me to take. Please guide me and lead me and give me wisdom and strength. That prayer will be answered because that is according to God's will. People pray for healing. That's okay. We're told to pray for that. But how he heals is up to God. Have faith in God. He may use a miracle. He may use doctors. He may use you to do something else. But the faith is in God. Doesn't that take the pressure off? Because a lot of people pray. I know this from experience. You pray, you get up off your knees, and you begin to take a phone call or go contact somebody because you're going to work it out. You just got up off of your knees. Did you ever do that? Well, I prayed. I put it in God's hands. By the way, I got to go see someone because I got to try and work this out. I'll make another phone call. No. Have faith in God. He'll direct you if he wants you to do something. John 5, verse 30. John 5, verse 30. I can of myself, and Jesus is speaking, I can of myself do nothing, As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is righteous, because I do not seek my own will, but the will of the Father who sent me." Jesus came to achieve the Father's will. Remember in the garden, he says, "If possible, take this cup away from me. Nevertheless, your will be done." And that's how we pray. And God's will be done, and your prayer will be answered. Let's turn to Psalm 37. Please. Psalm 37. Verse 3 and 4. "Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and feed on his faithfulness. Delight yourself also in the Lord, and he shall give you the desires of your heart." Boy, we all love the last part of verse 4. "He shall give you the desires of your heart." That's a great one. "He shall give you the desires of your heart." This verse is for the believer. It's for the one who's trusting in the Lord. You notice here, trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and feed on his faithfulness. Feed on the faithfulness of God, not your own. He's faithful, he will do it. Delight yourself in the Lord. Wow, you're just delighting in the Lord. How many times do we delight in the answer or what we want? Our delight is usually in if it works out. Delight in the Lord. Have faith in the Lord. Trust in the Lord. You see, we take ourselves out of the equation and it's all about God. And you will learn to delight yourself in the Lord as you take time to be with him. And you find, oh, he's just so wonderful. That's what worship does. It brings us into his presence where we get our mind back on the real issue, our relationship with God. And it gets us to the point of delighting ourselves in the Lord. Did you ever find yourself while you're worshiping or reading that, oh, wow, God just overtakes you and it's all... You just enjoy the words and thinking on the Lord. You're delighting yourself in the Lord. That's where we want to stay. And then, after all of this, he shall give you the desires of your heart. Why? Because the desire of your heart would be to have his will done. My desires changed when I became a Christian. What I desired was more personal and beneficial to me before. Now it's what's better for me and what's God's will. See how it changes? And it should. Delight yourself in the Lord and he will give you the desires of your heart. People feel, well, you know, I've played these games. I'm not even going to think about it because I know if I think about it and really want it, God won't give it to me. So I got to watch out the way I pray because I don't want to seem like I'm too much into this thing because I would really, really love it if God did this. But in some way, I don't want God to think I want that more than him, so I got to watch the way I pray. We can really get into it. God will give you the desire of your heart at times. I found that. If it's he that has put this in your heart, oh, wow, would he allow me to do that? Would it be possible that I would ever achieve this and be able to do this? Yes, if it's God's will. Some people, you know, they have this martyr syndrome. Well, God's never going to give me what I like. Well, I don't deserve it. I'm such a bad person. I can understand why God doesn't bless me. They'll go there. If you're walking with the Lord, if you're in the Lord and his will, he will give you the desire of your heart because he's put that there for you to do. Or to get. Isn't that wonderful? God is good. We say that at the end of each service. We can't think of God as robbing us. We've got to think of God as blessing us. But not for our benefit only. For his benefit. Because he wants to get the glory. He wants us to go around and say, you know what God did for me? He worked this out for me. What a wonderful God. Delight yourself in the Lord. This verse is not for the unbeliever or the carnal Christian, casual Christian. It's for the one who knows and worships God, who delights in God, doesn't question God, knows that God is good, one that's walking in the Spirit and wants God's will done. That's who this verse is for. Let's turn to James chapter 4, verse 3, please. James 4, verse 3. Well, why don't I get it? Verse 3. You ask and do not receive because you ask amiss that you may spend it on your pleasures. That's why. You ask amiss that you may spend it on your pleasures. See, it's all about how are we praying and why are we praying? 1 John chapter 5. Keep going ahead. 1 John chapter 5, verse 14. Now this is the confidence that we have in him. That if we ask anything, what? According to his will, he hears us. There's a verse. We know, we have this confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. For example, someone in your life really bothers you. I don't know if you have people like that in your life. They really bother you. They upset you. They aggravate you. They really ruin your day. One could pray, God, kill him or get him out of my life. Or you could pray, God, save him. What do you think God's will would be? Pretty simple, isn't it? I try to do that when someone cuts me off or does something. Your first instinct is the flesh, but thank God we have the Holy Spirit. You know, we can pray, God, save them. They need you. See the difference in our prayers? If you're walking with God, conscious of real life, you'll love because it's a fruit of the Spirit. You can get in the flesh and hate people. What prayer do you think God is going to hear? That's why it's so important to be in close fellowship with God, know his word, praying properly, following Jesus, hearing the Lord. You know, we need to live in touch with the Lord. Pray in the Spirit, led by the Holy Spirit. Now, a basic requirement, a spiritual law concerning prayer. Here's what we get into now. Verse 25. And whenever you stand praying, if you have anything against anyone, forgive him, that your Father in heaven may also forgive you your trespasses. Is there anyone here who never commits a trespass? You can leave because this message isn't for you. But if you have, this message is for you. Whenever you stand praying, if you have anything against anyone, forgive him, that your Father in heaven may also forgive you your trespasses. You know, this is just a basic requirement. We must be a forgiving Christian. We must be. We must forgive others. God has forgiven all believers. Murderers, rapists, cheaters, adulterers, liars, all. All who come to him, he has forgiven. He had no problem with it. Why do we? Because someone said something wrong against us? That's kind of little, isn't it? When praying, verse 25, whenever you stand praying, so he's combining that with prayer, your praise, now your time to pray. If you have anything against anyone, forgive him that your Father in heaven may also forgive your trespasses. So we see praying connected with unforgiveness. It's connected with faith, and with unforgiveness. When praying and you have something against another person, you're harboring unforgiveness, hate, bitterness, vengeance, anger toward another, forgive them right now. And if you can, contact them and let them know. Do it now, even if they are to blame. It doesn't say mere, unless they're the ones that caused it. Doesn't say that in the Bible. Maybe a new translation, I don't know, but not in the old and New King James. Forgive them. An unforgiving spirit breaks our fellowship with Father, and it hinders our prayers. We see that right here. It hinders our prayers. Because he says, you know, if you have anything, your Father in heaven may also forgive your trespasses only if you forgive them. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father in heaven forgive your trespasses. Ooh. An unforgiving spirit breaks this fellowship. If you have anything against another, don't harbor it. Forgive and set yourself free. Set yourself free today. Take the bitterness, the anger, the hate, the stomach churning, the sleepless nights, the awful thoughts, the vengeful spirit, the feelings. Cleanse yourself from them today by forgiveness, and you will feel better. Better than you have in a long time. Unforgiveness is sin, and it cripples people. God will not answer your prayer if you have unforgiveness in your heart. That's what we see. That's a big one, isn't it? Our prayers will be hindered. Our prayers will also be hindered if husbands don't take care of their wives. It tells us that in verse. Let's turn to 1 Peter chapter 3. 1 Peter 3, verse 7. Husbands, likewise dwell with them, your wife, with understanding, giving honor to the wife, as to the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers may not be hindered. Treat them right, or your prayers are hindered. See, when we come before God in true prayer, we have to be right with God, so that our prayers are heard. So we see in verse 26, if you do not forgive, neither will your Father in heaven forgive your trespasses. We want our sins forgiven. Look what Jesus did. Turn to Luke 23, please. Luke 23. On the cross, as they crucified him, in Luke 23, verse 34, Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they do. Hey, they're crazy. They don't understand what they're doing here. What did he do? He opened the door on the cross for forgiveness for all, even to those who crucified him. He opened the door by saying, Father, forgive them. That was his prayer. Isn't that wonderful? That we have forgiveness. Forgive, have faith in God. Pray and believe. Philippians 4, verse 5. Philippians 4, verse 5. Let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, that's prayer, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. We pray with thanksgiving. When we pray with thanksgiving, what does that mean? It means we have faith in God. That's where we started, where he said, have faith in God. When we pray with thanksgiving, we have faith that God will answer. You only thank someone for doing something for you. Here it's saying you can thank God for doing it for you before he even does it. Isn't that great? It's easy to walk around saying, praise the Lord, after he answered, isn't it? Can we walk around saying, praise the Lord, before he answers? We know he's going to work. People say, well, how do you know? By my faith. Oh, he's going to work. Praise the Lord. Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3, verse 12. Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another, and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also, what? Must do. It says in my Bible, you must do. Ooh. That's challenging, isn't it? You must. There is no option. Well, you don't know how bad they are, what they've done to me. I don't, but God does. And he says you must forgive them. You will set yourself free. Don't let people, other people, ruin your life. Walk with the Lord. Do what he says and you will be free. You can live through life letting others run your life by getting in your head and in your heart. Don't let it happen. Don't miss out on what God has for you. Live the way God would have you to live. You may say, well, they do this continually to me. How often do I have to forgive them? I think you know the answer to that. Let's turn to Matthew 18. I know you people know the Bible. We're going to Matthew 18. Verse 21. We read, guess who came to Jesus again? Verse 21, Matthew 18. Then Peter came to Jesus and said, Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Up to seven times? Hey man, he's already hurt me seven times. Do I have to do it seven times? And what did Jesus say? Jesus said to him, I do not say to you up to seven times, but up to 70 times seven, 490. But that's just saying always. Verse 35, the end of it. So my heavenly Father also will do to you if each of you from his heart does not forgive his brother his trespasses. Forgiveness, which gives us a correct prayer life, the forgiveness is not contingent upon the other person asking for forgiveness or what they do or don't do. It's unconditional forgiveness. Just like God's unconditional love for us. I'm glad. I'm glad he didn't look at me one day and say, you're too bad. You can't come in. It's unconditional forgiveness. We do our part and we leave the other party up to God, whether they change or not. Doesn't matter. We set ourselves free. Isn't that great? What he's doing here is teaching these disciples how to set themselves free to have a correct prayer life with God, to achieve what God has for them in life. By doing these things, you'll be in the center of God's will. So let's back to our text. Verse 27. Then they came again to Jerusalem, and as he was walking in the temple, the chief priests and scribes and elders came to him. So he gets back to Jerusalem in the temple, and guess what? The religious leaders are right there again to challenge him. And in verse 28, they said to him, by what authority are you doing these things? And who gave you this authority to do these things? Jesus has entered Jerusalem. He's entered triumphantly. We read about that on Palm Sunday. He allowed the people to honor him. He cleansed the temple. He cursed the fig tree. And now he's teaching his people on prayer and faith. And so these religious people come up to him and say, who do you think you are? Who gave you this authority? By what authority are you doing these things? And who sent you? You know, who are you and who gave you this authority? Are you the president or something? You know, how do you have the nerve to come in here and do these things? Who gave you this authority to do these things? Can you imagine them asking the creator of all things who gave you authority I bet you a lot of people were embarrassed once they saw the resurrection of Jesus Christ. You don't want to question or debate with the Lord. Remember, God is in charge, not us. We serve, we follow. So in verse 29, he comes back at them with a question. But Jesus answered and said to them, "Well, I also will ask you one question, then answer me, and I will tell you by what authority I do these things." He says, "I tell you what, fellas, I'll ask you a question, and if you answer me, then I'll tell you. I'll give you my answer." And he says, "The baptism of John the Baptist, was his ministry, was it from heaven or from men? Answer me. The baptism of John the Baptist." In Acts 19, we read, John's baptism was a baptism of repentance. He was preparing the hearts of the people for the Messiah. He was calling them to repent of their sin, because repentance must come first. Repent and then believe. And he was called by God to do that, to be the forerunner to the Messiah. And so they said, "By whose authority?" Jesus says to them, "By whose authority did John baptize with this baptism of repentance? Was it God or man? Answer me." And then he thought about it. And they reasoned among themselves, saying, "Well, wait a minute. If we say from heaven, if it's from God, if it was his authority was from God, then Jesus will say, 'Why then didn't you believe him that he was preparing the way for me? And you need to believe in me. Why didn't you repent and come?'" This is, that's what he'll say. We know this guy. That's what he's going to say if we say that. But if we say, "Well, it was just made up by man, from men," they say, "Well, we fear the people, for all counted John to have been a prophet indeed." So they were in a bind here. By whose authority? They thought among, what can we say? They didn't know what to say. If we say from God, from heaven, they'll say, "Then you should have believed." But if we say from men, you're disappointed by men, and we're going to upset all the people, and they're going to be angry with us. So they act dumb. So they answered and said to Jesus, "We do not know." And Jesus answered and said to them, "Neither will I tell you by what authority I do these things." And we know he does it through the authority of God the Father. So, great messages today in our text. Have faith in God. Pray, believing, and don't doubt. Forgive others and have this beautiful relationship with God. We heard from the authority today, Jesus. God, thank you for your word, for your work here on earth, for setting us free. We thank you for a new life in Christ. I pray we take these words today, keep them on the tablet of our heart, and that they change our life. And I would pray for anyone in this room today, Father, that has unforgiveness, bitterness, anger, or hate. Any of us. I pray today that through your powerful words, we would be convicted and change. Be doers of the word and not hearers only. You've come to set us free. So set us free from these things which are an abomination to you, Lord. Let us leave here lighter than when we walked in. Free in the spirit. Free to love. Free to live. Free to follow Jesus. Help us, Lord. Forgive us, cleanse us, create in us a clean heart, renew in us a right spirit. And we thank you for what you're going to do in Jesus' name. Amen.